also needs to tailor his communication style to the person. His approach is nearly always very direct, which can be difficult for some people to handle. Natalie T., floor supervisor, relationship management score 69. What people who work with her say. Natalie often minimizes a person's point of view or experience. She justifies bad situations by stating that it could always be worse, you just don't understand, or you should just get over it. She comes across as blunt and not empathetic, particularly with her subordinates. I want her to be more genuine in her interactions with them and show a general appreciation for others. Natalie needs to stop finding faults in every situation. It's tiring and demotivating. She needs to start recognizing people's achievements. There's a stigma that exists that Natalie is tough, difficult to work for, and unapproachable. She may achieve results, but at the expense of others. I would like to see Natalie avoid making judgmental or negative statements to her team or others when her statements add no value. Helping people see what could be done different helps them develop, but her continued negative feedback comes across as her feeling the need to belittle people. People no longer value her input, and at times view it as her need to be seen as superior. Chapter 4. Digging In. My Emotional Intelligence Action Plan. Information travels between the rational and emotional centers of your brain, much as cars do on a city street. When you practice EQ skills, the traffic flows smoothly in both directions. Increases in the traffic strengthen the connection between the rational and emotional centers of your brain. Your EQ is greatly affected by your ability to keep this road well-traveled. The more you think about what you are feeling and do something productive with that feeling, the more developed this pathway becomes. Some of us struggle along a 2-lane country road, while others have built a 5-lane superhighway. Whether the former or the latter best describes you, there's always room to add lanes. Plasticity is the term neurologists use to describe the brain's ability to change. Your brain grows new connections much as your biceps might swell if you started curling heavy weights several times a week. The change is gradual, and the weight becomes easier and easier to lift the longer you stick to your routine. Your brain can't swell like your biceps since it's confined by your skull, so instead, the brain cells develop new connections to speed the efficiency of thought without increasing its size. As you apply the strategies from the remaining chapters to increase your EQ skills, the billions of microscopic neurons lining the road between the rational and emotional centers of your brain will branch off small arms, much like a tree branch, to reach out to the other cells. A single cell can grow 15,000 connections with its neighbors. This chain reaction of growth ensures the pathway of thought responsible for the behavior grows strong, making it easier to kick this new resource into action in the future. You'll have to practice the strategies repeatedly before they'll become your own. It can require tremendous effort to get a new behavior going, but once you train your brain, it becomes a habit. If you typically yell when you're feeling angry, for example, you have to learn to choose an alternative reaction. You must practice this new reaction many times before it will replace the urge to yell. In the beginning, doing something other than yelling when you're angry will be extremely difficult, but each time you succeed, the new pathway is strengthened. Eventually, the urge to yell is so small that it's easy to ignore. Studies have demonstrated a lasting change in EQ more than 6 years after new skills were first adopted. The Emotional Intelligence Action Plan that follows will help you to focus your efforts more effectively as you explore and apply the EQ strategies in the remaining chapters. Follow these steps to complete your Emotional Intelligence Action Plan. 1. Transfer your Emotional Intelligence Appraisal Scores onto Part 1, My Journey Begins, of an Emotional Intelligence Action Plan that you can create by writing down the following. My EQ Action Plan. Part 1, My Journey Begins, and the date completed. Now, list your scores from the Emotional Intelligence Appraisal Test. Overall EQ, score. Self-awareness, score. Self-management, score. Social awareness, score. Relationship management, score. 2. Pick an EQ skill to work on. The human mind can focus effectively on one EQ skill at a time. Even the most ambitious people should trust that working diligently on a single skill will take you far. Your ability in other EQ skills will piggyback on your efforts. Your feedback report from the Emotional Intelligence Appraisal Test recommends a skill for you to start with. You may choose a skill on your own instead, but we recommend you don't start with relationship management if you scored lower than 75 in all 4 EQ skills. 3. Pick 3 strategies to begin using for your chosen skill. Your feedback report from the Emotional Intelligence Appraisal recommends specific strategies from this book based on an analysis of your score profile. Feel free to choose from these recommendations: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management, or choose different strategies from the strategies chapter for your chosen skill. 4. Choose an EQ mentor. Find someone who is gifted in your chosen EQ skill and ask this person if he or she is willing to offer you feedback and guidance at regular intervals during your journey. Be certain to set up a regular meeting time and write this person's name in your action plan. 5. Keep the following in mind as you apply your chosen strategies. A. Expect success, not perfection. When it comes to developing new EQ skills, perfection means you aren't pushing yourself hard enough. You'll need to continue to catch yourself when your emotions get the best of you if you want to keep improving. B. Practice, practice, practice. Sheer quantity of practice is the real secret to increasing your EQ skills. Practice your EQ strategies as often as you can in a variety of situations and with all types of people. C. Be patient. When you work to improve your EQ, it will take a few months to realize a lasting change. Most people see measurable, enduring changes 3 to 6 months after they begin working on a skill. 6. Measure your progress. Once you've made sufficient progress in the EQ skill you selected for Part 1 of your action plan, go online and take the Emotional Intelligence Appraisal a second time. Complete the action plan again, this time comparing your old and new scores and percentage of change. Chapter 5. Self-Awareness Strategies. Simply put, to be self-aware is to know yourself as you really are. Initially, self-awareness can come across as a somewhat ambiguous concept. There is no finish line where someone is going to slap a medal on you and deem you self-aware. In addition, awareness of yourself is not just knowing that you prefer oranges over apples or telling people that you're a morning person instead of a night owl. It's deeper than that. Getting to know yourself inside and out is a continuous journey of peeling back the layers of the onion and becoming more and more comfortable with what is in the middle, the true essence of you. Your hardwired emotional reactions to anything come before you even have a chance to respond. Since it isn't possible to leave your emotions out of the equation, managing yourself and your relationships means you first need to be aware of the full range of your feelings, both positive and negative. When you don't take time out to notice and understand your emotions, they have a strange way of resurfacing when you least expect or want them to. It's their way of trying to bring something important to your attention. They will persist, and the damage will mount until you take notice. Facing the truth about who you are can at times be unsettling. Getting in touch with your emotions and tendencies takes honesty and courage. Be patient and give yourself credit for even the smallest bits of forward momentum. As you start noticing things about yourself that you weren't previously aware of, things you aren't always going to like, you are progressing. The remainder of this chapter introduces you to 15 original strategies which were designed to help you maximize your self-awareness to create positive changes in your life. The strategies are straightforward and packed full of insights and examples that will help your self-awareness grow. Self-awareness strategies. 1. Quit treating your feelings as good or bad. 2. Observe the ripple effect from your emotions. 3. Lean into your discomfort. 4. Feel your emotions physically. 5. Know who and what pushes your buttons. 6. Watch yourself like a hawk. 7. Keep a journal about your emotions. 8. Don't be fooled by a bad mood. 9. Don't be fooled by a good mood either. 10. Stop and ask yourself why you do the things you do. 11. Visit your values. 12. Check yourself. 13. Spot your emotions in books, movies, and music. 14. Seek feedback. 15. Get to know yourself under stress. Self-awareness strategy number 1. Quit treating your feelings as good or bad. It's human nature to want to create two simple and easy piles of emotions, the good ones and the bad ones. For instance, most people would automatically classify guilt as bad. You don't want to feel it, you might even beat yourself up about it, and you do whatever you can to get rid of it. Likewise, we tend to let good emotions like excitement run wild. We pump ourselves up and feed off the energy. The downfall of attaching such labels to your emotions is that judging your emotions keeps you from really understanding what it is that you are feeling. When you allow yourself to sit with an emotion and become fully aware of it, you can understand what is causing it. Suspending judgment of emotions allows them to run their course and vanish. Passing judgment on whether you should or shouldn't be feeling what you are feeling just heaps more emotions on top of the pile and prevents the original feeling from running its course. So, the next time you feel an emotion beginning to build, take notice of it immediately. Refrain from putting it into the good or bad pile and remind yourself that the feeling is there to help you understand something important. Self-awareness strategy number 2. Observe the ripple effect from your emotions. Consider for a moment what happens when you drop a stone into water. The stone's swift plummet pierces the water's surface, sending ripples in all directions. Your outpourings of emotions are like stones that send ripples through the people in your life. Since emotions are the primary drivers of your behavior, it's important you understand the effect they have on other people. Let's say a manager loses his cool and berates an employee in front of the rest of the team. When the lashing happens, it may seem that the manager's target is the only one whose feelings get bruised, but the ripple effect from the manager's explosion affects all who witnessed it. As the rest of the team members wander back to their desks, the others too feel the manager's wrath. They go back to work with a pit in their stomachs, each one wondering when his or her turn will come up. The manager thinks his tirade was good for productivity because the rant scared people straight, but their fear soon settles into caution. To perform at their best, the team members need to take risks, stretch themselves beyond their comfort zone, and even make some mistakes along the way. No one on the team wants to be the manager's next target, so the team members play it safe and do only as they are told. When the manager gets docked a year later for leading a team that fails to take initiative, he wonders what's wrong with the team. Your emotions are powerful weapons, and continuing to think that their effects are instant and minimal will only do you a disservice. The key to observing the ripple effects of your emotions is to watch closely how they impact other people immediately, and then use that information as a guide for how your emotions are bound to affect a wider circle long after you unleash the emotion. To fully understand the ripple effects of your emotions, you'll need to spend some time reflecting upon your behavior. You'll also need to ask other people how they are affected by your emotions. The more you understand how your emotions ripple outward, the better equipped you'll be to choose the type of ripples that you want to create. Self-awareness strategy number 3. Lean into your discomfort. The biggest obstacle to increasing your self-awareness is the tendency to avoid the discomfort that comes from seeing yourself as you really are. Things you do not think about are off your radar for a reason. They can sting when they surface. Avoiding this pain creates problems because it is merely a short-term fix. You'll never be able to manage yourself effectively if you ignore what you need to do to change. Rather than avoiding a feeling, your goal should be to move toward the emotion, into it, and eventually through it. This can be said for even mild emotional discomfort, such as boredom, confusion, or anticipation. When you ignore or minimize an emotion, no matter how small or insignificant, you miss the opportunity to do something productive with that feeling. Even worse, ignoring your feelings does not make them go away. It just helps them to surface again when you least expect them. To be effective in life, we all need to discover our own arrogance, those things we don't bother to learn about and dismiss as unimportant. One person thinks apologies are for sissies, so she never learns to recognize when one is needed. Another person hates feeling down, so he constantly distracts himself with meaningless activity and never really feels content. Both people need to take the bold step of leaning into the feelings that will motivate them to change. Otherwise, they will continue down an unproductive, unsatisfying path, repeating the same patterns over and over again. After the first few times you lean into your discomfort, you will quickly find that the discomfort isn't so bad. It doesn't ruin you, and it reaps rewards. The surprising thing about increasing your self-awareness is that just thinking about it will help you change, even though much of your focus will initially be on the things you do wrong. Don't be afraid of your emotional mistakes. They tell you what you should be doing differently and provide the steady stream of information you need to understand yourself as life unfolds. Self-awareness strategy number 4. Feel your emotions physically. When you experience an emotion, electrical signals course through your brain and trigger physical sensations in your body. The physical sensations can be as varied as your stomach muscles tightening, your heart rate increasing, your breathing quickening, or your mouth going dry. Because your mind and body are so tightly connected, one of the most effective ways to understand your emotions as they are happening is to learn how to spot the physical changes that accompany your emotions. To better understand the physical effects of your emotions, try closing your eyes the next time you have a few moments alone. Feel how fast or slow your heart is beating. Notice the pace of your breathing. Determine how tense or relaxed the muscles are in your arms, legs, neck, and back. Now think of a couple of events from your life, one positive and one negative, that generate strong emotions. Think through one of these events in enough detail that you can feel your emotions stir. Take note of the physical changes that accompany the feelings. Do they make your breathing or heart rate change? Do your muscles grow tense? Do you feel hotter or colder? Repeat this process with the other event and take note of the physical differences in the emotions from the positive and negative experiences. Closing your eyes and thinking of emotionally arousing events is simply training for the real thing, spotting the physical signs of your emotions on the fly. In the beginning, try not to think too hard. Simply open your mind to noticing the sensations. As you improve at this, you'll find that you're often physically aware of an emotion long before you're mentally aware of it. Self-awareness strategy number 5. Know who and what pushes your buttons. We all have buttons. Pet peeves, triggers, whatever you want to call them, that when pushed, just irritate and irk us until we want to scream. Perhaps you have a coworker who lives her life as if she were constantly on stage. Her entrance into meetings is dramatic and flaring, and she feeds off the energy from everyone's attention and uses that energy to take control of the room. Her voice is louder than most, and her contributions to the meetings are always long-winded novels, as if she just loves to hear herself talk. If your modus operandi is more subtle, or you would really like part of that stage yourself, a person like that may really eat at you. When you go into a meeting with great ideas and a readiness to just sit down and get straight to the point, a drama queen who's creating a stage in the boardroom is bound to flip your switches for frustration and rage. Even if you aren't the type to blurt out impulsive comments or otherwise go on the attack, your body language may give you away, or you may find yourself on the drive home obsessing over your lingering frustration. Knowing who pushes your buttons and how they do it is critical to developing the ability to take control of these situations, maintain your poise, and calm yourself down. To use this strategy, you can't think about things generally. You need to pinpoint the specific people and situations that trigger your emotions. Your buttons are bound to get pushed by a wide range of people and things. It could be certain people, like drama queens. Particular situations, like feeling scared or caught off guard, or conditions in the environment, like noisy offices. Having a clear understanding of who and what pushes your buttons makes these people and situations a bit less difficult because they come as less of a surprise. You can take your self-awareness a big step further by discovering the source of your buttons. That is, why do these people and situations irk you so much when other, equally annoying people and situations don't bother you at all? Perhaps the stage hog reminds you of your sister who got all the attention when you were younger. You lived many years in her shadow, vowing to never let it happen again. Now you sit beside her clone in every meeting. No wonder she's a trigger for your emotions. Knowing why your buttons are what they are opens doors to managing your reactions to your triggers. For now, your tasks are simple. Find the sources of your buttons and jot down a list. Knowing your buttons is essential to using the self and relationship management strategies that come later in the book. Self-awareness strategy number 6. Watch yourself like a hawk. Hawks have the distinct advantage of soaring hundreds of feet above the ground, looking down upon the earth and seeing all that happens below them. The creatures on the ground go about their lives with narrow tunnel vision, not even realizing that the hawk is soaring above them, predicting their every move. Wouldn't it be great to be the hawk, looking down upon yourself in those sticky situations that tend to get the better of you? Think of all the things you would be able to see and understand from above. Your objectivity would allow you to step out from under the control of your emotions and know exactly what needed to be done to create a positive outcome. Even though you're not a hawk, you can still develop a more objective understanding of your own behavior. You can practice by taking notice of your emotions, thoughts, and behaviors right as the situation unfolds. In essence, the goal is to slow yourself down and take in all that is in front of you, allowing your brain to process all available information before you act. Consider an example. Let's say you have a teenage son who is more than 2 hours late for his Friday night curfew. You're sitting in a living room chair in the dark, waiting for him to stroll through the door and offer another creative explanation for why he's late and wasn't answering his phone. The more you sit there thinking about your son's disregard for your authority and the hours of sleep he's just robbed you of, the more your blood boils. Before long, you've forgotten the real reason you're so upset. You're worried about his safety. Sure, you want him to obey the rules, but it's the thought of him out there acting recklessly that's keeping you up. Watching yourself like a hawk in this situation requires taking advantage of this calm before the storm. You know your anger is going to rumble to the surface the moment his weak excuses tumble from his mouth, and you also know he's more likely to follow your rules if you can get him to see and feel your concern. This is the moment when you need to consider what this situation looks like from above. You realize your brooding is just fanning the flames of your anger. You remember that he's a good kid who's been acting too much like a typical teenager lately. You know your anger isn't going to make him change. It hasn't worked thus far. The bigger picture now in clear view, you decide to explain the rationale for his punishment and why you are so upset, rather than just fly off the handle. When he finally comes slithering into the house, knocking the lamp off the end table in the darkness, you're grateful you can see the whole picture and not just what's in front of you. Self-awareness strategy number 7. Keep a journal about your emotions. The biggest challenge to developing self-awareness is objectivity. It's hard to develop perspective on your emotions and tendencies when every day feels like a new mountain to climb. With a journal, you can record what events triggered strong emotions in you and how you responded to them. You should write about time spent at work and home. Nothing is off limits. In just a month, you'll begin to see patterns in your emotions and you'll develop a better understanding of your tendencies. You'll get a better idea of which emotions get you down, which pick you up, and which are the most difficult for you to tolerate. Pay careful attention to the people and situations that push your buttons, triggering strong emotions. Describe the emotions you feel each day, and don't forget to record the physical sensations that accompany the emotions. In addition to helping you see yourself more clearly, writing down your emotions makes your tendencies much easier to remember, and the journal serves as a great reference as you raise your self-awareness. Self-awareness strategy number 8. Don't be fooled by a bad mood. We all succumb to them every now and then, those down-in-the-dumps moods where nothing seems to be going our way. When you feel this way, your low mood puts a dark cloud over every thought, feeling, and experience you have. The tricky thing about your brain is that once a negative mood takes over, you lose sight of what's good in your life, and suddenly you hate your job, you're frustrated with family and friends, you're dissatisfied with your accomplishments, and your optimism about the future goes out the window. Deep down, you know that things aren't as bad as they seem, but your brain just won't hear it. Part of self-awareness is knowing what you're going through, even if you can't totally change it. Admit to yourself that your bad mood is hanging a cloud over everything you see, and remind yourself that your moods are not permanent. Your emotions change all the time, and low moods will pass if you allow them to. When you're stuck in a down mood, it's not a good time to make important decisions. You'll have to remain aware of the mood and understand it if you hope to keep it from leading you to make mistakes that will only pull you down further. Not only is it okay to reflect upon recent events that may have brought on the mood, but this is also a good idea, as long as you don't dwell on them for too long, because often that's all it takes to get the mood to pass. Self-awareness strategy number 9. Don't be fooled by a good mood either. Bad moods and negative emotions are not the only ones that cause trouble. A good mood can deceive your thinking just as much as a bad one. When you're feeling excited and really happy, it's easy to do something that you'll regret. Consider this familiar scenario. Your favorite store is having a once-a-year sale with markdowns of up to 75%. You rush into the store on the day of the sale and end up buying all sorts of things that you've always wanted but can't really afford, at least not all at once. The rush and exhilaration of your purchases carry you through the week as you show off the goods to your friends and family and let them in on the fabulous deals you got. When your credit card bill arrives at the end of the month, it's another story. Foolish spending is not the only mistake you can make while riding the high of a great mood. The excitement and energy you enjoy during a good mood paint a rosy picture of all you encounter. This leaves you far more